Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of Holy Communion on this first day of the month of August, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth."
The hymn, "How lovely are thy dwellings fair."
Almighty God,
to whom
all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets."
Lord,
have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Collect of the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meagre fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveller to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbour, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, Now the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning, number 51, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness.
According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences.
Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my faults.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned.
And done what is evil in your sight.
So that you are justified in your sentence.
And righteous in your judgment.
I have been wicked even from my birth.
A sinner when my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth deep within me.
And shall make me understand wisdom in the depths of my heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear of joy and gladness.
That the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Turn your face from my sins.
And blot out all my misdeeds.
Make me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me again the joy of your salvation.
And sustain me with your gracious spirit.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, God is always near me. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A deep spiritual hunger is implanted in every human heart. Different people will seek to fill this need in different ways, but the hunger is not unique. People yearn for a deeper connection, an eternal spiritual connection, and when that is lacking, will seek any means to be fulfilled. Jesus said he came that we might have life, and that abundantly. Yet he who offered fullness of joy was often met by people with simpler, lesser needs. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus met a Samaritan woman who longed for living water so she wouldn't have to keep returning to the well each day. Jesus started with that basic need and used it to forge a relationship with her that ended with the woman reconnected to God and to others in her community. In today's Gospel reading, Jesus has met the immediate needs of a host of people. Those remaining after he fed 5,000 with a little fish and bread seek out Jesus. Jesus tells them, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That previous day, Jesus fed their physical hunger with bread and fish, and the crowd sought him out once more. Jesus points them to their spiritual hunger, which is what he really wanted to fill. After all, the people were created to love God and love others as they loved themselves. And in chasing after other needs, they risked getting further from the real nourishment they needed. Jesus compares this to the original bread from heaven, manna, with which God miraculously fed the children of Israel for 40 years in an uninhabitable wasteland. This was the daily bread that would come anew each morning, with enough to last the day and a double portion for the Sabbath. Now Jesus compares the daily bread of manna, which God gave in the desert, to the bread of life, which God offers in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus offers nourishment, which goes to the heart of our most basic human need to fill a spiritual hunger. Having been created to be in relationship with God, without that connection, we can feel empty. It's an easy move to connect Jesus referring to himself as the bread of life to the Holy Communion. For in the mystery of the communion feast, we eat the bread and drink the wine, and in so doing, we partake of the body and blood of Jesus. But we don't want to jump to that correct response so quickly that we miss the bigger picture. This discourse comes when Jesus has 2 more years of ministry ahead of him. In fact, this is, after all, John chapter 6 out of 21 chapters. There is much more time left in Jesus' ministry before he gets to that last meal with his disciples. The Gospel according to John makes clear what the other 3 Gospels only hint at. The Holy Communion is not about Jesus' death alone. Jesus' self-giving act in communion is not only concerned with the Last Supper, the cross, and the empty tomb alone. Jesus' whole life, rather than just 1 or 2 events, will institute the sacrament of communion. Put directly, faith is not in Jesus' death and resurrection alone, but in Jesus' whole life, from Bethlehem to Golgotha, and beyond, to an empty tomb in a garden. Jesus' appearances to his disciples, and his ascension to heaven. Everything Jesus did, who Jesus was, and how he acted, are part of God's revelation to us. We cannot separate one part of his life from the rest, nor should we have a Christian part of our lives separate from the rest of our lives. We are to take Jesus' whole story and make it part of our whole story. This is much more than hearing the word. It is word and deed. In baptism, we do not simply hear of Jesus' baptism, but water is poured over us as a sign that we are united with Christ through baptism. We don't just hear the story, we actually get wet. In the Holy Communion, we don't merely listen to the words, take, eat, but we actually get up to take and eat. It is not just the bread that we take, bless, break and give. God took Jesus' whole life, blessed, broke it and gave it to us. We are to let that story of God's love for us take us, bless us, break us and give us back to the world. Jesus wanted those who followed him, after having their fill of fish and bread, to discover real spiritual nourishment so that they would never hunger again. And yes, one is fed through the Holy Communion, for this too is only part of the picture. Our Sunday worship is to be just a part of how we are fed spiritually. Compare spiritual nourishment to food. Eating out in a restaurant is becoming more usual now that the long period of restrictions and hospitality are being lifted. But what if that was the only meal a person ate in a week? Someone who goes back to their familiar seat in a restaurant week after week to enjoy their one meal of the week could never be nourished enough to make it through the remaining 6 days. In the same way, common worship in church on Sunday is meant to be an important part of one's spiritual food and drink. But it can never satisfy your hunger if it is your whole plan for feeding you spiritually. Fortunately, the Anglican Church, of which we are part, has a centuries-old norm of daily prayer that is well suited to filling this void. The daily offices of morning and evening prayer, as found in the Book of Common Prayer, are a wonderfully enriching daily devotion. When praying in this way, together with the daily scripture readings, one is better prepared to meet whatever comes. It is not that troubles never occur to people who pray and read their Bible. Rather, it is that those who, shall we say, marinate daily in prayer and scripture are perhaps more connected to God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Then, whatever comes, they can call on that connection. So much of our lives is spent working for the food that perishes. We must work to earn food, water, and shelter, and all the extras that make life enjoyable. But we know there is more to life than the daily grind. For a fulfilled life, one should commit a portion of each day to prayer and reading the Bible, for that is the food that endures for eternal life and the gift of Jesus who came so that you might have an abundant life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, we give thanks for the grace that always exceeds what we can hope for or ask for. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We remember the leaders and young people taking part in the Kilbrony adventure camps at Ross Drever, praying for good health for everyone and safe delivery of the activities. We pray for John, our Archbishop and Metropolitan, and the other church leaders. Grant them your daily help and build us up in faith and love. As we are fed by word and sacrament, make us strong in your service. Guide us and direct us in the preparations we will be making to safely return to parochial activities in our church buildings. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, we thank you for the varied cultures of the British Isles. We acknowledge the historic variety of the English, the Welsh, the Scottish, and the Irish, and the richness of our life together. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government, the First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste and Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Grant that our shared roots may feed a joyful future which will nourish the nations of the world with the fruits of cooperation and interdependence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, show us the way to relieve the needs that lie close to us. Shield our families from the assaults and fear of coronavirus and its variants. We pray for those who are living in fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of others' reaction to them. If we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify our spirits. Help us in our life together to be a healing influence in our neighbourhood and in the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. Give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom in distributing vaccine. May discoveries in the field of medicine be truly shared between rich and poor. We pray for all who are bereaved and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
give refreshment, light, and peace to all who no longer need the bread of this world. Receive them into their eternal home. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn,
Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us.
He opened wide his arms upon the cross,
and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts,
make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen.
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 Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Holy Father, who gathered us here to share this meal with the whole household of God, in that new world where you reveal the fullness of your peace, gather people of every race and language to share in the eternal banquet of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us
with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Hymn 647, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We thank you for being with us and sharing in this online service of Holy Communion. Sunday next is the 10th Sunday after Trinity. There will be an online service on the parish website from 10 a.m. In church, there will be services of morning prayer at 10 o'clock in Annahilt and at 12 noon in Mara Hamlet. Contributions for the food bank may be left in church at Annahilt today and next Sunday. Thank you.